In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Imagine putting yourself in the place of these chief priests and elders at the temple. Imagine, I just want to kind of paint the picture for you. You're watching miracles happen. You're watching Jesus just maybe minutes earlier healing the sick miraculously, expelling demons, teaching beautiful things. Imagine witnessing a miracle and asking about zoning permits. That's what's happening. The high priest and the elders go to Jesus. He's performing miracles and ask him, what right do you have to do this? Who gave you this authority to do this? They're asking about permitting. They're asking if Jesus has done his medical license. He's already healed this person. Miraculously, he's performing. They don't care that God is walking among them. They don't care that people are who've been sick maybe their entire lives are better. They don't care about that. They don't care about the good. They're jealous, and their jealousy blinds them. And Jesus, rather than calling them out on that, rather than saying that to their face, he does it in a kind of more gentle way, but it's actually kind of more clever as well. He says, all right, you know what? Let me ask you a question. And Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen. And he asks them a question that's going to expose what kind of liars they are. And he says, let me ask you a question. Was John the Baptist, was he sent from God or not? And look at what happens. They go off to the side. They talk amongst themselves. And what do they ask? Look in detail what they ask. They say, well, if we answer him and we say, yeah, John's baptism was from heaven, then he's going to embarrass us. And he's going to say, well, you didn't believe in him. So if he's from heaven, why didn't you believe in him? And we're going to get embarrassed. And then they ask, well, if we say he just made it up, his baptism is from men, then the people are going to attack us because they believe in him and we don't. This is what they ask. They ask about the consequences about their answers. What do they not ask? At no point do they ask what's true. Jesus is asking them, was John sent from heaven or not? They don't care. They don't care whether he's from God or not. They care about themselves. They don't care about the truth. And these are the high priests. These are the elders. But they're so consumed, they're so absorbed with their name, with looking good. And that's why they're so jealous of Jesus, because he's doing good things. Rather than say glory to God for these miracles that are happening and becoming his followers as they should, humbling themselves and saying, okay, you're the Lord. In their pride, they want to make Jesus look bad, to make themselves look better. Rather than ask, maybe John was actually from heaven, they don't care about the truth. They only care about what makes them look good. And so when they answer, we don't know, it's not that they don't know. They don't care. And then Jesus tells this very quick parable about these two sons. One of them, what are the two sons? One of them says, no, I don't want to go work in the field. And then he changes his mind and he goes and works in the field. The other one, the dad goes to him and he says, go work in the field. He says, okay, yes, sir, I will. And then he never goes. What's the difference between those two sons? Both of them were lazy. Neither of them wanted to work. But why did one repent and do the will of his father? Not because he wasn't lazy, but because he was honest. And when his dad said, I want you to go work in the field, he was honest and he said, no, I don't want to. And his honesty allowed him the chance to repent. The other brother who said, yes, sir, I go, you know why he couldn't repent? Because he lied. And when we lie, we begin this cycle of lie after lie after lie. We have to build this net, and it basically chains our hands and it stops us from being able to change our mind, to say, you know, I was wrong. And the Pharisees the chief priests and the elders here are caught in their own web of lies. They've lived their entire life just worrying about their name and their status among their people. They've lived their lives, they've developed a habit of not caring about what's actually good and what's actually true, of only caring what's best for them and their own people. By the time they meet Jesus, man, that's a big repentance. It's never too late, though. And I think the message that the gospel is offering us today is it's so easy to make excuses for what we think are these minor little things. And sometimes it can be a venial sin, but it's a sin to lie, to exaggerate. Oh man, it was 50 people there. I mean, if people know that you don't mean exactly 50, it's not like you counted exactly. Okay, you're not lying, but sometimes we really do exaggerate because we want to make ourselves look better. Sometimes we're caught in this weird situation. Somebody's asking about somebody else and we know, there's going to be a problem. There's going to be an issue if I say something. And so we lie to prevent some other problem from happening. I'm not saying contribute to all the drama you can. I'm saying you want to be honest. You know what the honest, true answer is? You know what the real truth is when somebody asks you about somebody else's business? The truth is not their business. You know what the truth is? The truth is you saying to that person, that's gossip. I'm not going to gossip. You want to ask that? You want to know about that person? Go ask him. This is none of my business and it's none of yours. That's the full truth. That way you don't have to lie to get out of the situation, and that person will be upset with you. And then next time they want to gossip, they'll know you're not the person to ask. You've solved your own problem in the future. Why am I even bringing that up as an issue? Because that's one of the scenarios where we make excuses. Oh, it's just a little white lie. It doesn't matter what color the lie is, white or whatever other color. Jesus is the truth made flesh. He wants us to live according to that truth, and he wants us to care about what is true, not about what is best for us in this moment, what's easiest, what's most convenient. And he wants us to be willing to tell that truth, even if it's inconvenient for us, even if it's embarrassing for us. You know why? Because if we can't do that, when someday maybe we'll be asked to give our lives for the faith. If you can't tell the truth when somebody's going to be upset with you for 30 seconds, you think you're going to be able to stand up for your faith when your life is at stake? And if you're denying the truth in these little tiny dumb ways for nothing, what makes you think you're going to stand up for the truth when it's your blood that could be shed? No, it doesn't come out of nowhere. These little moments of caring more about really what's true, really what's good, and not saying, not out of jealousy. You know, that's another thing that can make us blind ourselves to the truth. We see somebody else doing some good, we get jealous of them, and our jealousy blinds us. And we don't want to acknowledge somebody else is doing something great and good for them and rejoicing in that. That's the truth. But we make everything about ourselves. We're willing to lie to ourselves. We're willing to say, oh, that person is terrible. They're slime. They're awful. We say that to ourselves so that we don't have to be humble and say, you know what? They're good at something that I'm not good at. That truth will set you free. It doesn't have to all be about us. And in the end, if we put the truth first, that means we're putting the glory of God first. That means we're freed. We're able to truly rejoice and to live lives that pursue the truth rather than some small good that we exchange for it.